You're listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. And now, the BingeCast.
Welcome to a BingeCast exclusive. I'm Moreno. I'm here with Jack Valley.
Yo, yo, yo.
We are pre-Lollapalooza. We're super stoked. We might be a little late on getting the audio out for the live show, but for those that have tuned in on Facebook Live and seen all the pictures and stuff, you've gotten the gist of it, but we want to make sure the audio quality is as best as it could be for you guys. So it's going to be a little bit of delay on that, but we didn't want to delay you too much without any BingeCast content. So we got a little something special for you guys. A couple of days ago, I was contacted by an old friend of ours. He's been on numerous podcasts on this network before. Jack, you've actually talked to him as well in the past. Yeah. And that is none other than Mr. Adam Simon. And he contacted me because he wants to discuss some stuff and announce a really, really cool partnership with one of Binge Media's favorites in Hollywood, I would say.
Yeah, that's fair. It's very fair.
Mm-hmm. Definitely has my 2012 favorite movie of the year.
Yeah,
directed it.
Yeah, it's always good to talk to Adam. I'm eager to get down to it. So,
all right, let's do it. Let's give him a call.
Yo,
Adam Simon.
Calling from a restricted number, eh?
Yeah, that's right. We keep it super secret on Binge Media.
Freaking awesome, man.
How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. Who all is on the line with us? Is it just you?
It's me and Jack, who you talked to during your Man Down promotions.
Adam, oh, very what's cool. up, man?
What's up, buddy? How you doing?
Pretty good. I have some good news. Finally got my hands on a copy of Saturday's Warrior. So I will be consuming at some point, and we'll have a full review for you, sir.
I may God have mercy on your soul.
Look, I hit a neat green movie last night, so I'm primed for some shit.
Oh, dude, that's amazing! That's amazing. I was telling Alex, I took my son and my daughter to see Wonder Woman.
Hmm.
Yeah, last night. It was awesome. It was freaking amazing. I loved it. It was kind of, I think I put on Twitter that like after the movie, I was telling my daughter and said, "So do you want to be Wonder Woman when you get older?" And she's like, "Who directed it?" And I was like, "Patty." And then she's like, "Yeah, I want to be like her." And I'm like, "Yeah, me too."
Well, that's awesome. That's what you want.
Definitely.
Yeah. Dude, it was so great. I think what I loved about the movie is that it's, I was telling Alex this, is that it's like, I won't spoil anything, of course, but it's that thing of like, you get like a lot of these female characters, at least recently in recent cinema, like if they want to be tough, quote unquote, you know, like go toe to toe in a man's world, they either got to be really damaged, like have some it's nobody you would ever want to date. You know what I'm saying? Like they've got major demons, major freaking problems. Like they're carrying around like M&M sized baggages of luggage, you know, like this luggage, like in their closet, like these skeletons, just like a skeleton army. But what's great about Wonder Woman is she's just, you know, there's this kind of crazy, really bold, like this is who I am. It's like, it's beautiful, it's feminine, but strong and powerful and you know, really, like, empowering. Like, you don't have to be damaged to be powerful, you know, kind of a thing. And I'm all for that, right? Like, mm-hmm. I love Mad Max. Is like, one of my freaking favorite movies. I think Furiosa needs, like, her own solo film. Like, she carried that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there is something kind of really cool about this gal that wants to change the world. And it's really kind of cool. It's just really cool. I loved it.
All Nice. Now you got a little something special to announce, and we'll get to that in a bit. But it's been a while since we talked to you on the Binge Airwaves. You've gone through quite the arc with Man Down.
Yeah, it's like, yay, fuck, yay, fuck. it's kind of like been the roller coaster. I mean, it's like, you know, but that's, I don't expect anything less. Mm. You know, I expect to, you know, I have recently gotten back into the gym and started doing boxing again. I did boxing when I was a kid. I used to do boxing just at, you know, at home, and do like different boxing gyms in Palmdale, Lancaster, and stuff like that. But I'm recently back in, and you know, I'm not quicker than anybody. I really don't got any like special skill set. I can hit pretty hard. You know, I got pretty heavy hands, but I can take a punch. It's probably my only marketable skill. I could get punched in the face like a lot and go down and just keep getting back up. And we knew kind of going into Man Down what we were doing. And we knew that, you know, it was going to kind of come off that way. But to go from, you know, sleeping in a parking garage and writing the thing to getting the news that Shia was on board and Gary was on board, and that you guys were there for that. I mean, I came to you guys and did an interview back then, and mm-hmm. was just like over the moon and flipping the fuck out.
Sure.
And then to kind of go through the whole process of fighting for credit, like fighting to keep my name on it, fighting, you know, for certain things throughout the production process. And then to be like, okay, I won that battle. Now I'm here. And then, to have it be released, and then the critics are like, fuck this movie, was insane. But, you know, we spent the better part of a year screening this film for veterans and veterans organizations and veterans families. And so I know what this movie means to people that have been there, who've seen it, who've experienced it, those who have loved ones who have been severely affected by PTSD and just by war itself, and anybody's, you know, gone through the struggle of fatherhood and any of those things. So, you know, I've come face to face with those people. And then, you know, and I did what a lot of writers don't do. I went toe to toe with the critics. So I started calling people out, you know, and maybe that was a good thing. Maybe it was a bad thing, but it's me. So I just figured I can only be me. It's weird with critics though, right? Because there's some critics who, you know, like, I respect, we live in a time now where a movie, I mean, just think about this, a movie comes out and you have thousands of people, individuals and publications all doing blogs, websites, entertainment magazines, you know, YouTube reviews, like all this shit that comes out over one film where everybody's fucking scrutinizing it. And it's a little crazy. And there's some people, I had this conversation with a guy the other day where I said, you know, he goes, everybody should be heard. Everybody's got a voice. Everybody should be heard. That's a great thing about America. And I went, I'm not so sure about that. And he's like, well, you know, clarify. And I said, well, if I'm doing brain surgery and a plumber comes running in and he's like, hold on a second, I got some fucking ideas of how you should, you know, conduct yourself in the surgery a little bit better. It's like, no, you're a plumber. Get the fuck out of here. I got a bunch of brain surgeons in here doing, you know, surgery. So it's like, you know, I feel like there's certain people who've made criticisms of the film that, you know, they take issue with some of the pacing, some of the editing, some of the CGI, some of those things. And yeah, like I can listen to those criticisms, but people that just want to throw it out just because it is Shia, or, you know, just throw the whole movie out, I just think is absurd.
Yeah, ridiculous. That's just ridiculous. You find that a lot in combat sports like MMA and boxing, where
right?
An analyst or a critic would be, you know, really critical of a fighter's style or choices that they made in the match, and the fighter just being like, "You're not in there, dude. Like, you don't know what the fuck it's like right. to be in and to be punched in the face for making a mistake or making a decision."
Yeah, you get some guy. Yeah, some guy who's sitting on his mom's couch. You know, in his mother's basement, he just hopped off of World of Warcraft so he could catch, you know, the latest UFC match. And then he hops onto his blog so he can sit there and critique the fight and pick it apart.
Mm-hmm.
Contrast that to somebody like, Brian Callen, like The Fighter and the Kid, that podcast.
Sure.
Or like, you know, Joe Rogan. You know, those guys are, you know, in it. Like, mm-hmm. they've done it. Joe Rogan's competed. You know, these guys have competed and they know the sport. So they're speaking about stuff that they know and can, you know, and that's not to say that you can't make good critical analysis simply off of observation, right?
Sure.
Like, there's a lot of people who, you know, can observe things and go, okay, you know, here's my critique. But any asshole with a camera now is sitting there going, "Hey guys," and you know, and they got 5 subscribers on YouTube. "Hey guys, how's it going? It's me, Tom, Tom the Terror, and I'm sitting here to give you my review of, you know, Wonder Woman. It sucked. I give it 3 Tommy thumbs down." You know, it's just like, fucking shut up.
It's almost an insult. Yeah. Like, there's no thought put behind it. Like, at least if somebody has, they've obviously thought about it and went through the beats and the motions of why they didn't like something, it's different. It's almost like a better argument if that happens. But if fucking Tommy Dickless is just doing that, then it's like, come on.
It's the difference of saying, like, "Why didn't like that movie?" Because, you know, art is subjective.
Sure.
And, you know,
absolutely.
Somebody, I mean, you guys know that from, you know, I've listened to some of your guys' stuff, and inevitably a film that is just flawless, you'll get one person going, "Nah, I fucking hated that movie." And it's like, okay, dude, you're entitled to your opinion, whatever. But if you sit down and now say, okay, I'm going to analyze this film. I'm going to tell you why it sucked. And yet you are speaking nonsense. Like, you're putting, Christian Bale said it best. He did this interview with DP30 where he's like, you know, I just can't read reviews anymore because people are blaming the writer for something that it was the director's responsibility, or the actor for something that was the editor's responsibility. And they just have a fundamental, like, misunderstanding of,
They just don't know,
a lack of understanding.
Right. Yeah. They don't understand who's doing what, whose job is what, who's responsible for what.
Yeah. The biggest problem for me on, at least with the criticisms and why, you know, I went as far as to look this one asshole up, you know, and come to find out, you know, he had all kinds of skeletons in his closet, and I aired out his dirty laundry on social media, which backed him up real quick. And he's like, "Who the fuck is this guy? Like, why is he bringing up, you know, the affair that I had with an office intern? Like, who is this guy?" I'm just like, I'm the writer, asshole. What a lot of people assumed was that I was some, like, USC grad who had, you know, like, written this script based off of, you know, reading, like, Save the Cat and, like, sitting down and going, this would be a great plot twist. Like, it's a lot of my life and the lives of other people that I know personally that I stitched together with this story and then put it up there. So when they're talking about something as if it's a plot twist or a character arc or something like that, I'm like, it's different than that because it's real, you know? So, yeah, it's a little, there was that.
Yeah, and as
but,
far as the,
you know, I don't,
No, I was just going to say, as far as the reception of the movie goes to, like, obviously you want it to do well. You want the respect of the audience and your peers and the critics. And when that doesn't come through, not 100%, but when it doesn't come through, like, you're disappointed by it, but, you know, having veterans and veterans' families see that and them being touched by it, that's pretty rewarding in itself, no?
Yeah, man. That's all that matters to me.
That's awesome.
Like, and the thing is, you know, like, I'm going to be totally cornball here for a second, but there's that stupid analogy that people, you know, kind of like that same, like, footprints in the sand, you know, on the beach, there were two sets of footprints, and then I noticed there were one, and it's because the Lord carried me. And then, yeah, have you ever heard that? It's terrible, yeah. Somebody made a parody of that, and they were like, and then there's this butt print in the sand, and that's because, you know, God was like, I'm sick of carrying your ass, you know, walk on your own. But there was this story that I heard about this, you know, all these starfish had washed up on the beach. I don't know why all these analogies take place on the beach, or these metaphors or whatever. But this girl was tossing starfish back in the ocean, right? And this guy's like, you can't even make a dent. Like, there's thousands of these things. Like, what are you doing? And she picks up one and throws it in. And she goes, oh, I made a difference to that one. Hmm. And I, you know, I felt like that. And, you know, the response has been really great. And it's found its audience. It really has. I mean, we've been doing great on digital media. I also learned something from this experience that if somebody runs with clickbait, there's no way to stop it.
Yeah.
Like, there's zero way to stop it. We did not release the film pushing a theatrical release in the UK, for example. Like, we released it Netflix, iTunes, all that stuff after we had a small theatrical run in the States. But there was a theater in the UK that was like, you know, we want to show it. Like, we want to show this movie. But it wasn't like a deal, you know what I'm saying? So it's available on digital. This theater decides to show it, and a couple people show up to watch it, and they go, oh, you know, Man Down's got the worst, you know, theatrical release in the UK, and it's like, that's not what was happening. We weren't advertising it. We weren't doing anything. It had already been released on digital. But that was the clickbait. So you get these cunts who are sitting there with their, you know, soul hawks, you know, my name's Tommy Small Dick, and I'm the reporter for Variety. It looks like Man Down is now down and out, according to UK numbers with Shia LaBeouf. Oh, thing, you dumb motherfucker. Like, don't let me catch you on Sunset Boulevard or anywhere around Hollywood, because you're going to get my foot up your ass.
Yeah, real clever, Tommy Dickless. Come on. He gets around, too, by the way.
Retarded.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. You know who I'm talking about, though? That one guy with the Hollywood Reporter, that guy? He's always, like, doing these snarky little, like...
Is it the...
I think so. Yeah, he's got, like, this... he's got this, like, Richard Spencer hairdo. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the no-guard shave on the sides and the back, and then a really big, like... the amount of hair care product that guy uses in his hair,
Jesus.
You know... There's a hole in the ozone over wherever he is.
Just with that guy, right?
Yeah. And he's always got these, like, these snarky little things. And, man, I don't know what it is. I don't know why we went through this. I think we're coming down off of it. Like, Shia's performance in American Honey was really great. I love this guy so much. Like, his performance on Borg, where he plays John McEnroe's, going to knock people's socks off. He's really phenomenal.
Nice.
But I this, like, natural hate. Like, Shy is the guy we could beat up. He could take it, you know? Like, it's almost like that Mikey. Like, give it to Mikey. He likes it. He'll eat it.
Like,
Shy is like that guy. Like, people are just like, oh, I'd love to beat him up.
Yeah, I don't know why as a collective, the public just saw him as an easy target. I mean, I think if anything, it proves that he's not an easy target.
Yeah, he's kind of not. And what's really cool is, you know, he controls the narrative now. Like, he determines what people are talking about in reference to him, you know? And I think it's awesome. I think it's really great. I think he's underappreciated as an actor, and he's a really good guy. He's a good friend. Mm-hmm. I mean, we shoot these little, like, cool little, like, love notes to each other. Like, I'm just like, hey, brother, I hope you're doing well. Thinking about you, sending love your way. And he's like, what's up, homie? I hope you're doing good. And then, you know, I'll shoot him something. I'll be like, I did this interview where, you know, I told the interviewer I was going to punch him in the mouth if he said shit about you again. I hope I didn't overreach. And he's like, you never overreach. Punch away, you know, like,
nice.
he doesn't care. Yeah. He's a cool dude. Really cool guy.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because when I read about that, you know, that whole, you know, worst opening in UK history or something, like, you know, film made $2 or something like that, whatever the fucking title was.
Yeah.
First thing I thought of was, you know, I mean, I had seen the film here, and then I just assumed that it was a VOD thing and that it was probably...
Right.
I don't know. Off the top of my head, I was thinking maybe you guys were just, like, releasing it in the theater to qualify for some kind of award or something like that. But it just seemed like everybody jumped right at it. And it's funny hearing your perspective on critics now, because not that I would compare it, like, same kind of movies or anything like that, but this is something that Kevin Smith's been doing for the last 10 years, you know? He just got to a point where he just said, fuck it, to the critics and to, you know... interesting mixed results. I mean, I think the Red State is maybe his best film, honestly. Like, I really think that's an interesting movie.
I'd agree with that.
But, you know, going off on that sort of stuff, it's just, I don't know, it's interesting hearing that you're coming to the same conclusions as he did, coming from such a different creative background, you know, different creative style.
Yeah, and, you know, like, you know, you talk about respect, like, you know, the respect is there. I mean, you know, where I come from, how I've come up in the game and like what I've been doing, like it speaks for itself. So I don't need to talk about it. You know, right. anybody who knows. I did put something out on social media because I thought Gary said it best and it was very kind of him to say, as he just said, you know, shooting in New Orleans in the Ninth Ward, Ditto Montiel, Shia LaBeouf, good script. So mm-hmm. I'll take, you know, Gary Oldman giving me a commentary on my script any day over Bumblefuck over at Variety. Like,
oh, of course.
I don't give a shit, you know. And I don't, you know, the thing that I have learned recently is, and it took a special individual to set me straight, because I think a lot of artists, you brought up Kevin Smith, I think a lot of artists start off and they go, you know, oh, I'm gonna rock the system.
You know, right.
This is what I'm gonna do. I'm making something that's artistically viable, something that's relevant. This is something that I want to do. And you kind of start off on this path. And it took, you know, I was making that comment like I'm never gonna sell out to the man. Like, you're not gonna catch me. You know, Punisher's already being done on Netflix, so you're never going to catch me going to Marvel properties. Fuck that. Sure. You know, they took Punisher from me, bastards.
Yeah.
But like, it took a conversation with Joe Carnahan that he's like, buddy, you got to ride that line between art and commerce. Like,
yes.
you can't like just throw that out and just stick to your guns. He's like, man, if I could go back in time, like, that's what I would tell my younger self. Like, you gotta wake up out of this. And I'm like, yeah, you know, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So now it's about, you know, doing a couple for them, doing one for me, you know, and I'm perfectly comfortable with that, because I feel like you can take a great, action film, and this flies a little bit in the face of what some, not all, of the studios think, but you could take a great action film, you could take a great rom-com, you could take stuff that people would say were like popcorn-y, you know, projects, and you can incept them with really kick-ass ideas. And, you know, Mad Max was that way. I think, you know, Chris Nolan's, you know, Batman was that way. I think there's a lot of you know, legitimacy to that you can do some really cool shit with the action genre that actually is trying to get a message across, you know,
sure,
with all the entertainment.
Yeah, I this seems to be like the, I don't know if it's a misperception or a common thought that it has to be all or nothing when it comes to art and commerce. Like, you can't, like, there's no compromise in the middle, because if you do compromise, then you're
a sellout.
Yeah, you're a sellout, or you're sacrificing your own artistic integrity. And I don't know. Like, I just found myself in this conversation recently, so it's funny you bring that up. and with a bunch of people, and it was just interesting to hear everybody's different take on it and what they do for a living and their background, where they're coming from, and how they interpret that that idea between art and commerce. And you know, you have somebody who is like, you know, struggling artist who's just like, I'll never sell out, and it's like, well, you know, you're not looking too hot right now. You know what I mean?
Right, buddy. Yeah. Yeah, it's that, like, old. It's that same. We always talk, like, you know, boxing and mixed martial arts and stuff like that. It's like, it's that old quote, you know, like, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the fucking mouth. You
absolutely.
Know?
It's yep. Like, that's right.
You know? Well, and for me, that was it's kids.
Yeah.
You know, I got mm-hmm. two kids to be able to provide for, you know, and so I think, you know, I take stuff very personally when it comes to making commitments, being on time, putting in the work. I don't think, you know, we talk about, like, the whole, like, spirit of the thing and the arts and, like, all that other stuff. But at the end of the day, I'm not judging anybody by, you know, what they're putting out or, like, you know, mm-hmm. I did Macbeth, and then over here I'm doing Fast and Furious. Like, I'm not going to judge them by the genre and the flavor and what they're putting out. I'm going to judge them by their work. Like, what is their work ethic? What are they putting in? And their honesty and their integrity, and that's how a man should be judged. I think you know you got to fucking put the work in, man. Like,
it's, absolutely.
It's this yeah, and you know, I that's why, you know, with, you know, the film, the indie film that I did, that threw my own cash into it, got other people to throw cash into it, you know, provided opportunities for a bunch of people that I knew, friends mm-hmm. that I knew, that's why I take that very personally and just cut ties with the project. It's, if you, the valuable lesson I learned with that, with doing my own indie film, writing the script for it and then acting in it, right? And then throwing money into it as well, is that if you are the driving force behind your project, you're fucked, because you can't carry it. Like, you can't. Filmmaking is a collaborative process. And if you don't have at least a core group of people that are like, we're seeing this all the way to the end, we're going to meet our deadlines, we're going to get this film out there, we're going to let, you know, as many people see it as possible, like, we're on board with this project, you can't do that shit yourself. Like, you just can't. And so you got to have the right, you know, team of people. And that's what I would say to any indie filmmaker out there is, you know, you may be very passionate about your project. Find people that are equally as passionate, because there's a lot of people that will go, yeah, I'm on board, I'm with you. But the second that you start to hit rough waters, they're going to bounce. Or they're just going to take the movie and let it sit on their hard drive indefinitely, which is what happened to me.
Yeah, right, so. Right. That's funny, because you could apply that to almost any relationship. Business relationship, an intimate relationship, or personal relationship. It's kind of the same kind of like core value right there.
You know, it's funny too, because just hearing you describe that, I mean, that's not to make too, you know, much of a metaphor out of it, but that's Binge Media right there. Like, that's how we operate. We have a pretty good core team of people. We work towards doing what we do because we like doing it, you know? And we all kind of have the same sensibilities, and I think we do a pretty decent job of what we're doing here, you know? I mean, we're not a movie news website. We just, we bullshit. We like to get in the thick of it and fucking argue about things and, you know, figure shit out, rectify on air, right?
I don't think you guys, have you guys settled the whole Godfather?
Like, oh, shit.
About whether the
dude.
Oh,
love it.
God damn it.
Oh, my God.
No. In other words, no.
No, it hasn't been solved. It's great, man. It's freaking great. I just saw recently The Exorcist again, and a few other freaking things. I was watching The French Connection, The Exorcist. Oh, man, he went for it with The Exorcist, right? Mm. I just freaking mm-hmm. went for it, man. Like, did not give a shit. Like, just like, let's just freaking go for it, man. It was so great. It's amazing.
Well, that's a great example of a movie that, you know, to me at least, has so much staying power because of the core idea. That movie's about a mother who's afraid of her daughter basically becoming a woman, right? So it's just heightened to the fucking level of she becomes possessed by a demon, right? Like, possibly a demon.
Yeah, right?
But it's something you can, anybody can relate to. You know, you can very easily boil that down to an experience that, you know, many people have. And it's not just a matter of doing, you know, a movie centered around the idea of an exorcism. It's the idea of, like, this breakdown of a family and then adding the supernatural elements on top of it. And it's a great fucking film.
Hmm.
Yeah, man. I love all of his stuff, man. It's great. I've been getting reacquainted with older films for the past few months. It's really fantastic. It's been great.
Especially that era, too.
Oh, my gosh, dude, the 70s? Like, forget it.
Is that your favorite decade?
70s, early 80s.
Is that your favorite period of movies?
Yeah. I mean, just cranking out shit with just reckless abandon.
Mm-hmm.
Like, without concern for, you know, you got to have the inciting incident on this page number. You got to do this. This is what the character's going to be. We're going to plot this out. We're going to color code it. Now, there's a use for that, 100%. Like, that methodology of, you know, I keep harping on this damn book, but that, like, Save the Cat thing.
Mm-hmm.
That'll win you screenwriting contests any day of the week. But, you know, you want something with staying power, it's got to have heart, it's got to have soul, it's got to kind of be reckless and be a little bold, be a little brave. I think of any movies that have come out over, you know, the past 10 years, and I think the ones that I've really been like, holy shit, that's great, has been somebody that's like, okay, I'm gonna do this. I'm like Bronson.
Yes.
You know, you look at Bronson and you're like, does that follow anything that you're fucking taught in any of these seminars? Like, no, it doesn't. So it's this really kind of amazing, wonderful film. And all those things, Memento, like all those things. But, you know, the same director who did Memento, the guy who did Batman, so it's like, you know, that art and commerce thing that we were talking about.
Yeah, absolutely.
You gotta, you gotta pay the bills.
You bring up an interesting point there that actually even harkens back to the last conversation you and I had, because when we were talking favorite films, you know, we were talking a little Kurosawa, and Kurosawa was one of the first guys to figure that out. Like, he alternated his samurai films, which were the Japanese westerns, with his modern Japanese dramas. I mean, in like 100%. A 4-year span, I think he alternated like Stray Dog into Yojimbo into like fucking High and Low, and then like, I think Redbeard or something. There's some crazy stretch in there, and it's within like 4 or 5 years. But he totally figured out the way to make the movie that's commercially viable and actually make that on a level that nobody had made them before. And then also be able to do the shit he wanted. And I feel like that's the maturity level. You know, like, not everybody can be David Lynch, right? David Lynch somehow just fucking does what he wants, and it's great, and that's it, you know? And he's very, I'm sure he knows it. He's very blessed to have the creative career that he's had. But, you know, even Spielberg, I mean, he couldn't make fucking Schindler's List without making Jurassic Park, you know? And
100%.
It's just a great spot to be in. You mentioned Nolan. I mean, Nolan, to me, is the best example of that in the modern era. I mean, you know, what did he made Batman Begins, goes and does The Prestige, does Dark Knight, and instead of following it up with Dark Knight Rises, jumps into Inception, and, you know, that's his passion project. I mean, if that's his version of a passion project, then fuck, man. We need more.
Yeah, keep doing it. Keep doing it. It's great. I was talking to I was having a conversation last week about that you know, like Inception, like, nobody had ever seen. I'm like, oh, slow your roll there, Keith. Like, it's, you know, before that, it was, you know, it's like, oh, no, he was telling me. That's what it was. Because I was like, oh, yeah, there was this. And then he's like, well, you know, that was off of Matrix. And he's like, Matrix was kind of off of Dark City. And then, you know, just kind of like following that whole idea of us living in a world that's not ours.
Right. Kind of sure.
But yeah, it's freaking great, dude. I love movies, and I feel like if you lose that, that's when you got to clock out. That's when you got to go, okay, you know, I'm gonna be a Lyft driver now.
Right.
But you know, you're out in LA, and I see that every day. I'll meet somebody, and I go, so what, you know, where are you from? Ohio. Oh, cool. So what are you doing out here? Oh, I'm an actor. Okay, cool. So you studying anywhere? Nope. Taking any classes? Nope. All right. So what's your plan? Well, I'm just going to try to hit auditions and crash auditions. And if it doesn't work out for me in a year, then I'll probably give it up. Okay.
Great plan.
Cool.
good here's attitude. Your
ticket back to wherever the fuck you came from and go fuck yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my California, and I'm very passionate about my state and about my city, and in particularly Los Angeles, is it's not, you know, what you see on SNL with the Californians. You know, that's like Malibu, Santa Monica, like that whole stretch. But like, you get down to like Venice Beach, downtown LA, like the artists that are working, they're all hungry, they're struggling, they're trying to get their foot in the door. I had a gal go into my girlfriend, dude. She went into this audition. This is a good example. Goes into this audition, and maybe I can't share that. Yeah, I can't share that. Never mind. that would break all kinds of non-disclosures. Okay, never mind. Forget that.
Fucking baseball with Adam Simon.
I know, dude. I was like, oh, like, I was looking across the room, and like this big bold letters in my mind was like lawsuit. So
I'll just make up something anyway, for the article and put it in there.
Yeah, I'll make up some bullshit. But anyway, there was a
newly in Star Wars.
Yeah, there's a friend of mine who did go into an audition. Another friend of mine who went into an audition and didn't get it. And the people in the room all came from big money, like big money families, like huge, like recognizable names. I just like tossed them out. And here this actor was, you know, just up and coming and like struggling to get into the room. And there they were. And obviously this person got beat out by somebody that had money. But it's those kinds of artists. Like, I love the people that are putting in the work every day, studying their craft. I hate that word craft, but like studying, you know, how to be better at what it is that they do. Mm-hmm. And they're going out every day and they're putting the work in. It's like that, you got to put in the work and you got to know where you are. I was telling Alex, I went into the gym one time, and it was the first time that I talked to Frank Grillo in person. And this is a guy who's like militant. Like, if you look at his freaking Instagram, like, that dude's got like what, like 1% body fat or some shit like that. Like, it's superhuman. And not only that, but he's an accomplished dude. Like, he's super humble, but he's got hands. Like, that dude could tear somebody apart, right? So I come in and I kind of do that stupid gym bro thing, which was fucking dumb. But I walked up to him and I'm just like, all right, man, so what is it? Is it like chicken breast and salad or like what? Like, tell me what I got to do to be able to look like that, you know, with a six pack and everything else. So I was like, well, you know, what do I got to do to look like that? And he turns around, looks at me, and he goes, you can't. And not in a thick way. He's just like, you can't, dude. He's like, this is 40 years in the making, son. Like, this is boxing. This is getting up at 4 a.m. every morning and like working for 40 years, you know. You're Irish and you drink. Like, stick with that. Like, it's kind of like, but he's great, and it's but it is that thing. Like, you got to put in the work every single day if you want to see results, and also be fearless in the sense of this may never work. That's the crazy thing about it. Like, you could do every audition. you could have a manager, you could have an agent, you could get great headshots. I'm just speaking about acting right now, but it applies to screenwriting, it applies to directing. You could be doing all this stuff and never get to a level that you want. And then that begs the question, what are you chasing?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, what are you really going for? Like, I said that to somebody the other day. They said, "Well, I don't know what I'll do if I die before I get an Oscar." Can you believe that those words actually came out of somebody's fucking mouth? Yeah. And I said, I just said, why don't you start with just being a good person? Like, be a good neighbor, be a good friend, be a good human being. And then work on your craft and be working on your craft and trying to get, you know, gigs and jobs and things like that. And if you get it and you're able to pay the bills, you're already like ahead of 90% of the people that come to this town with this dream. But make no mistake, Hollywood's built on losers. It's not built on winners. It's just like Vegas. It was built on, you know, the people that come here and pay for all these seminars and networking opportunities and headshot photographers and you know, meet and greets and all this other stuff. And they're just forking out cash. And then when they're spent, they're gone. It's like, you know, the old ladies who are spending their children's inheritance at the slot machines in Vegas. They're just like dumping the quarters in there. They take off. But every now and then you get the winners and you get the people who win. And if you're lucky enough and skilled enough, you know, there's a reason why the, you know, a certain amount of poker players always come back and you see the same faces. But, you know, you just got to have that thing. And if either you have it or you don't, but you gotta have that thing of just like, I don't give a shit. Like, you know, I was born in LA, I'm gonna fucking die in LA. Period, end of story. And if I'm able to create stories that move people, awesome, so be it. Like, you know, that's it.
Yeah,
but
that
I've got shit straight.
That Oscar example is pretty rough. I mean, it's a pretty fucking lofty goal right there. I mean,
yeah.
It's almost like you're working toward... Not almost. I mean, you're definitely working towards the wrong dream. You just switch your perspective. Like you're almost on the right path,
stuff.
But I don't know.
Yeah, it's that secret stuff, right? Like it's that busy work doesn't mean effective work.
Yeah,
like
mm-hmm. Work smart.
Like practice doesn't make practice doesn't make perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like you don't throw up a bunch of pictures of Meryl Streep on your fucking vision board and pin a dollar bill up there. Everybody loves that story. They they love that thing of like Jim Carrey writing himself $1 million check.
That's
like,
right. Yeah.
Not everybody does that. But then what did he do? You know, what did he do? He went out, he hit the comedy clubs. He got booed off stage. He did all this stuff. He put in the fucking work. He didn't just write, oh, Jim Carrey wrote himself $1 million check. Okay, I'm going to do that and hold on to it, and then I'll make $1 million. No, asshole. You got to go out and work.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's the misconception. This is, I mean, a little bit, I don't want to get too crazy, but a little bit of why these, like, competitions drive me so crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, The Voice and American Idol and stuff like that. It's like everybody just thinks, if I get in front of the right people and just sing my heart out, all my dreams will come true. And it's like... Work.
Yeah.
Work.
Yeah, and also the producers.
Your work will pay off.
The producers have their end goal, too, because a lot of the times they're just casting a look or whatever, you know? And if they compare it with somebody who can sing just okay, then it's like, all right, well, because it's all right there, you know? Perfect combination.
Yeah. Somebody said it's that mythology that drives people to L.A. It's what brings people in, is that, oh, you know, Harrison Ford was just a set builder, never acted a day in his life. And George Lucas saw him and he goes, that guy with the hammer over there is building sets. That's my fucking Han Solo. Get his ass over here.
Yeah.
No, dickhead. He had been studying acting for a long time. He was reading lines with the other actors. Like he knew what he was doing when he stepped in front of that camera. Like it's just these fables, these stories. Somebody was telling me the other day, he said, well, this is a crazy one, too, and I talked about it in another interview where he said, only military personnel should play military personnel in movies.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's insane. That's like all cops should be played by cops. That's crazy. But I said, yes, you should have veterans on set, technical advisors, and all that stuff. And He's like, well, look at Adam Driver. Look at Michael Caine. Look at Gene Hackman. Look at these guys who served in the military. They were amazing actors. And I was like, yes, Adam Driver has spent like 10 years in different acting schools and acting conservatories. Gene Hackman, he studied with Dustin Hoffman. These guys all studied what they were doing. They didn't just jump up in front of a camera because somebody said they looked cool, you know? It's just bullshit.
Well, that's a constant misconception everywhere, too. Like, you know, the big story, you know, it was always like Bill Gates, college dropout, right?
Yeah.
No, that's not the whole fucking story. Like, people thought he was
college
smart.
College dropout who worked his ass off.
And also, a guy who worked hard enough to get himself into Harvard in the first place. You know, it's
right.
I can't stand that mentality. You know, I mean, I just, you know, obviously listeners know, but I just finished up school for myself. I'm starting a new job soon, all this other stuff. And it took me a long time to get to this point, you know? So the perspective of that is valuable. You know, it's like life experience really informs a person, really shapes somebody, you know? And it's when people don't appreciate the work that goes into something, you just lose respect for them, mm-hmm. you know?
You know, I had this conversation with my son. My son said, he goes, well, Eminem didn't go to college. You know, Eminem didn't finish high school. And I'm like, you're right. You know what Eminem did? He goes, no. I said he was participating in rap battles and doing competitions like or doing these things like on the street where he's coming up and just battling, you know, random MCs. I said Eminem also read the dictionary front to back over and over and over and over again because he knew that words were going to be his weapon. I said, so if you're looking at him going, well, he dropped out of school and didn't do good, and you know, he's doing good now. He's got, you know, one of the highest selling, you know, artists out there. I'm like, great. Here's the Webster's Dictionary. Get cracking. Mm-hmm. Start. You know, aardvark, a small mammal. You know,
yeah, right, yeah.
You know, he gets halfway through the A's and he's like, I'm done. So, you know, there's these. Yeah, it's just a myth. Like put in the work,
and so many start people in the buy work. Into it too.
Yeah, and it's never too late to start. That's the brilliant thing.
For sure,
on anything, on writing, on directing, on acting, on any of this stuff. But or even boxing. You know, like boxing was. You know, I did it as a kid. Then I went into Muay Thai. Then I did American Kenpo. Worked my way up to a black belt in American Kenpo. Then I got off. Completely derailed and went on the Kung Fu train. And I was like, oh, this, you know, I thought it was going to put me ahead, like on the street, and then found out it's absolutely fucking useless. Mm-hmm. And so then I started messing around with, you know, jiu-jitsu and then found my way back to boxing. And the guy, you know, who I train with now, Chris Van Heerden, is just like, look, you know, keep going, keep just doing this one thing. Keep going, and then we'll add another, and then we'll add another. It's never too late to start. You just keep, you know, keep building, keep going. And that's the beautiful thing, is that anything in life, it's never, never too late to start.
Yeah, it's just amazing that so many of these people, I mean, I see it to some certain extent in Chicago, but, you know, that people would hear a story about Jim Carrey writing himself $1 million check and Harrison Ford, you know, being a carpenter and George Lucas, you know, noticing them and that people would have an impetus to just be like, well, I guess I got to go get a hammer and fucking take my shirt off and just hammer away on rich people's houses. It's almost it's negative reinforcement because then you're stuck.
Buddy, I've seen shit you wouldn't believe. One of the times I was out on just out on the street, I was actually going to this acting studio to clean up after one of the classes because I was getting acting lessons in exchange for manual labor and stuff like that. So I was going there to clean up. And on my way, I ran into one of the guys who was in the classes and shirtless. This is why I came up. He was like shirtless, and, you know, shorts and running down the street. And I was like, I was like, man, you getting a workout in? He's like, I'm just trying to pace myself, man. I said, oh, well, you know, what mile are you on? He's like, oh, I just, this is the peak hour, it's lunch hour, so I just run up and down the street because a lot of producers and directors come out here eat lunch. And I was like, are you fucking insane? Like, that's what you're banking on, buddy? That's what you're hanging, like, wife and kids and college tuition and shit on? Is your shirtless, you know, thumping up and down the fucking boulevard, like Wilshire? Like, that's your bank, huh? Like, that's your play. All right, cool. I'm going to go vacuum the studio, you know? It's just like, man, the shit that people do is crazy. I mean, look, I've done crazy stuff. I mean, I've done crazy shit as well. But yeah, there is this kind of easy, like, I deserve. But look at where we live. Like, anybody could be famous. Like, fame. Like, what is this fame thing?
Yeah, Tommy Dickless is famous. He's got YouTube pages. He's Tommy on Dickless the Hollywood Reporter. He's all over the place.
He's all over the place. You look at these guys on Instagram, and it's just like, who are you? I'm an influencer. Oh, you're an influencer. Okay.
Oh, that's so gross.
What do you influence? What are you influencing? All right. Cool. Keep on keeping on, man. And look.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, I understand it's a new world, new technologies. Maybe I'm sounding like, you know, I'm turning into some, you know, Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino or some shit. But, like, you know, there's, get off my lawn.
Get off my phone.
But there is this kind of world that we live in now where we got a reality star as a fucking president, where everybody thinks, you know, being famous is more important than actually contributing to the society that you live in.
Mm-hmm.
We're one of the lower educated countries out there. So you have this, you know, lack of education combined with, you know, our kind of zealousness and our emotional state, like this heightened emotion that we have in the Twitter world of like, fuck you, no, fuck you, and limited characters of how we communicate with one each other. And,
yeah.
And I just think it builds to this entitlement. Like, people feel like, well, I should be famous. Well, I should be making movies. Well, it's like, you know, look, man, I know actors, you know, there were six actors that were staying in the flat with me when, you know, that little 850 square foot flat that I was living in, and they were all struggling and hustling, like, hustling to get work and to get in the door. And, you know, you do those people a disservice, and you do yourself a disservice by wanting things easily.
Yeah, and not even just contributing to society, just contributing to your own personal growth. I mean, just go back to your point of, you know, putting in the work, you know?
Nobody gives a shit about that anymore, dude.
That's true. That's true. Beating a dead horse.
Like, personal growth. Fuck that.
Fuck, I mean, you and your hippie lingo.
Like, America's all about, like, yeah, America's all about, like, take a pill and get thin.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, are you tired of struggling through crunches? Now we got this new thing that just folds you in half, like, over and over again. You could sleep while getting your, you know, abs ripped and toned. It's just a fucking lazy, man. It's fucking lazy. It's like,
I would like to see,
like, Michael Keaton and Birdman. You're a lazy fucker.
I'd like to see Frank Grillo do a commercial about that. And he just goes down there, he's ripped, he's boxing, he's doing all these different things, and he's just like, how'd I get like this? One pill a day. I sleep 15 hours, I take one pill, super ripped. If anybody could sell it, it'd be Grillo.
Like, I can see that commercial. Hi, I'm Frank Grillo. I know you want to look like me, but you can't. Like, something like that.
Here's the next best thing.
Try. Why don't you try my pill? No, yeah.
He just becomes a drug dealer.
Fucking work. Yeah.
He's essentially a drug dealer at that point.
It's fucking amazing.
Oh, God.
That's work, man. Nobody works harder, man. Like, the people that know you are what you eat. And you are who you surround yourself with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's been very painful for me, you know, this past decade. It's been a real fucking rough decade. But it's, you know, I've cut a lot of dead weight. And what's really nice now is being in the position that I am right now is, you know, my kids are good, my kids are healthy, I'm working. and I'm working with people who work, like, who are just, like, unapologetically just fucking badass and just doing work and going for it and, like, 110%. Not to harp on it too much because, you know, it's turned into, like, the Joe Carnahan, Frank Grillo hour. But, like, have you guys watched Kingdom?
Adam, you gotta
fucking assholes.
You gotta no. You gotta. We have a.
There's a lot of backstory to this.
Yeah, we're gonna give you the
ball. Oh, is this like another show discussion? What the fuck is this?
Possibly. So here's the thing. We've got a listener, from way back, I believe, Eddie from Cali, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Eddie from Cali's a big fan.
What's his name?
Eddie something.
We just call Eddie from Cali.
Eddie from Cali.
From Cali.
Yeah.
And he's a big fan of Kingdom. But the thing is, he likes to tell us that he's a big fan of Kingdom at least 5 times a day, all over everything. Everywhere. So it's become that inside joke, like, you know, somebody will post, like, hey, did you check out Wonder Woman? And one of our other listeners will just be like, oh, yeah, but did you try Kingdom yet?
Oh, got it. Yeah, well, yeah. That's kind of cool, man.
It's become its own thing. It's become a meme.
Yeah, the fans are really, like, super, super passionate. Like, they're really great of the show. There's, like, a whole world that I didn't even know about, you know? Like, I checked out the show and loved it. Like, loved it. Because it reminded me of some of the places that, you know, I was in and some of the characters that I knew. And it's kind of quintessentially, you know, California. But there's a lot of universal themes and characters and stuff. But, But then to see this whole world, like, of the fans that are all about it. Like, they're really passionate and kind of, like, the Jehovah's Witnesses of
and that's how we feel, know, like, Eddie,
the show that they love.
That's how we feel like Eddie is. He's coming to our virtual door, knocking on it, and going, have you seen Kingdom today? I got the whole season for you right here. Good. And the whole thing is, like, he's talked about it so much, and he's pushed it down our throat so much that we feel like we kind of relate it to, it's an ongoing joke on in the Bingeverse also, with Doctor Who. Like, so many people push it on us that we flat out said, we'll never see these shows because you guys need amazing. To shut the fuck up about it. Let us watch it. And we're Frank Grillo marks. We love Grillo. But sure. Just because of this one guy, we're very childish and immature.
Eddie, stop fucking this up.
He's fucking the whole thing up.
Eddie, stop fucking this up. It's a good show. Buddy, it's a great show.
Yeah.
It's a freaking phenomenal show. And I'm not gonna pressure you because you've already done it. But if you do, you know what you guys should do? You should watch it and then just don't tell Eddie you watched it. Just keep that running. Just be like, no, I haven't gotten around to it yet. No, I haven't done it. But then you guys secretly, like, you know everything.
And we just
it.
Pepper in little show references here and there. And he's just going to, what the fuck? No, these. Yeah. How do you know about that?
Yeah, just like.
You just mentioned Kalina? What?
That's amazing. Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Poor Eddie. He's going to talk shit about Man Down just because I was.
I think he liked Man Down. He's a military guy. He's a veteran.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool. What branch of the military?
I believe Army. I think he's an Army sergeant.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
that's
he's cool. Awesome.
My dad was in the Army.
Yeah, he's a great dude. Cool. He just
Big shout out to Eddie. That's awesome.
Now, Adam, the reason why you're here, you have a big announcement that you want to let us know and let all the Bingeverse know and all the peoples know about your exciting news, which we were all really fucking stoked about.
Well, yeah, man. I mean, you know, there's a couple things that I've been working on. I did this screenplay for Ben Arroyo Pictures called Sentinel that was based off of Matthew Dunn's novel, who's a former MI6 officer. It was a lot of fun. It was a really good get down. But you never know, you know, you finish the script, you get it done, it gets out there, you don't know what it's going to do or what's going to happen with it. I've been kicking around a television show with Robert Harmon, who is he directed the movie The Hitcher with Rutger Hauer and C. Thomas Howell back in the day. He's done a bunch of television, a bunch of movies. He's done a lot of stuff, and so we've been put together this pitch for this television show with this gentleman by the name of Robert Riley, who spent time working as a prison guard inside of a prison and kind of found himself trapped within that world. And so we've been going around and kicking around a television show kind of like Three Musketeers style, and it's been going really well. And what's been great about that is talking to Robert. Like, I love talking to directors because they kind of have this all, they kind of have their eyes on everything, you know, and there's a lot to be learned, especially from a guy who's been in the game as long as, you know, Robert has. And he hates it when I talk highly of him. He freaking hates it. Like, anytime. Yeah. Like, I'm going to send this to him, and he's going to be like, he's just going to send me a message like, you asshole, stop talking about me. but he's a great guy, and I'm learning a lot. Like, I'm learning a lot from him. Because ultimately, that's something that I do want to move into. I think it's a natural transition to move from the writing space into the directing space. But I need more. I need more things underneath me. By the way, this leads me to the other project that I'm working on there. And again, another gorilla plug, but this thing that War Party's putting out, man, this movie Wheelman, that Carnahan produced, Jeremy Rush directed, it's going to be coming out soon. It is fucking badass. Like, it is such a dope film. It's so good. It's so freaking good. See, now I'm doing the Eddie thing. Now I'm going to hype it up.
They'll pull a kingdom on us, Adam.
It's the last time I'm going to mention it. That's it. I'm never going to mention it again. But it's really great. But I've been working. I've been friends with this gal. She's a producer, Tracy Falco, for a number of years. And I think I told you guys years ago. I mean, what the hell was that? Was that like 3-4 fucking years ago?
Something like that, yeah. Yep.
Yeah, we were talking, and I told you guys that story of when I ran into Carnahan on the Universal lot, and we were talking about Stretch and talked about...
You brought that up last time we talked, I think. We were talking about that stuff.
Yeah, so we had a great, you know, conversation, and Tracy produced, was one of the producers on Stretch, and she's produced a couple other movies. And so, you know, since that time, we've kind of communicated off and on. And then, you know, Joe obviously saw Man Down. He's like, man, that movie got a bad fucking rap, dude. Yeah. Like, it got a bad fucking rap. He's like, I loved it. He's like, it got a bad rap. But, you know, we went back and forth, and we were talking about things. So, yeah, it's official. I can't say what it is. I can't say what's going on with it. But, yeah, I've been working with Joe and Frank and Gaumont on a project that I'm writing. So I'm writing it, and dude, it's such a great process. Like, the process thus far. Another thing that I've been batting around with Joe, it's just great to like be in a space where like there's no fucking ego, and it's like, look, here's the story. This is what I'm thinking. What's going to make this better? And then he comes back and goes, this. And I'm like, oh, shit, that's amazing. Okay, all right, cool. Let me work this in. And then, you know, just going back and forth. And just to have that is really dope. It's great. It's a, you know, and there were other things that were kind of on the table, other projects that, you know, were kind of in the works and coming to fruition. I was like, eh, you know, because this kind of tribe, there is, you know, not to get hokey or fucking weird, but it's a good, I've been a lone wolf in this thing like for a long time, and it's good to be in the company of people that are just about doing good work. Mm-hmm. Like, that's it. It's just about fucking doing really killer shit. And you know, It's just been great, man.
It's almost the really complete opposite
of fucking excited, dude.
It's almost the complete opposite of what we were talking about, right? Like, these guys are all about the work, and not just like, hey,
yeah,
give me money so I can make a fucking movie. They seem like real,
there's a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and look, you know, smoke and mirrors is necessary. Like, there's, you know, you need kind of that person. There are people that it's like, you know, you'll meet people and you go, God, I fucking hate that guy. Like, God, I hate that guy. You know, he's just got that schmoozy, like sleazy, like bleh, like thing. But then he's got this, you know, uncanny ability to be able to work his way into rooms and network mm-hmm. with people and talk to people and get shit funded. And it's like, okay.
Yeah, it's part of the business,
right? It's your usefulness. But on the creative side of things, I like to just do work and just keep it 100%. There's no ego. What makes this thing better? Let's just work on that. And then everything else will come to fruition and work itself out. And it's just been great that, you know, it's just awesome, dude. It's really good. Yeah, coming back to a relationship, it's a good one.
You know, we talked to, we interviewed Joe on an old website, but we interviewed him. We called him for the Gray promotion. And
are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. This is probably, you know, I think it was 2012 or 2013 when it came out on Blu-ray. And that was my favorite movie of that year. I just absolutely love it.
Fucking great, dude.
It's amazing. Yeah. And we talked
buddy,
to him.
Buddy, I don't I try not to be that guy, uh-huh. you know, because I could very easily be that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, man, so when you were shooting this scene, you know, like Chris Farley's character on SNL, who's like, I could easily be that fucking guy.
For
like,
sure.
I could easily be that guy. But and I have to fight that all the time. I have to be like, so in Smokin' Ace, it's like that scene with the fucking thing, and he's just, you know, yeah, I'm sure he'd throw me out of a window.
Yeah.
But, yes, yeah, there's a cool, yeah, on the Gray, the thing about the Gray, dude, is I remember not having a dime, dude, and there was a buddy of mine who worked at this theater in Hollywood, and he let me in to just see some movies for free. It's kind of like a treat for me. It's very cool, and a really great friend. And I remember, and I was just down and out. I hadn't seen my kids. Like, it was just really fucking dark and rough. And I'd seen a bunch of movies that week, but I saw The Gray, and I remember that character
mm-hmm.
Towards the end. I remember thinking, oh yeah, that religious guy, like that used to be me. And then, you know, that used to be me. But I remember seeing Frank's character, and I was like, oh, that's me right now.
Yes.
Like, I gave up a long time ago.
Totally yeah, relate to
I'm
that.
Done, I'm done.
Yep.
I was like, I'm fucking done, man. Like, it's over. I'm going to die. I'm going to die penniless on the street.
But on your own terms, though.
But yeah. But then, you know, you get to the end, and then you're like, no, man, fuck that. Like, I'm in.
Still.
I'm going to strap some fucking bottles to my hands, grab a knife, and, like, let's go to war. Let's fucking do this thing, you know?
Yeah. Still great. Got that fight
that
in
a
you.
Great effect on me. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no worries.
It was really cool.
No worries.
You were saying, you were interviewing him,
so
and
we
you really
talked,
loved the movie. And then,
so we talked to him, and he got on the line. And he's like, oh, you know, just grilling some steaks, smoking a cigar. He's got a little bit of bourbon. And I was like, dude, you know, like, we can call you back another day. And he's like, no, it's totally fine. So gracious. Like, stood on the phone with us. It was
cool.
Just like we were talking to one of our buddies. It was fucking, it was the best.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm a Carnahan Mark from NARC. And I through all his work. But since he did that, I'm showing up for everything he ever does because he was so nice.
Yeah,
to us.
Dude, he's great, man. There's I did an interview. I'll tell you guys. I did an interview with WTF Radio, a military group. They go into So they go, it broadcasts into all these different, it's an army, I don't want to misspeak, but I want to say it was an army sergeant who's conducting the interview, and it's a podcast and all this stuff. But I was over, at Joe's, like I was over at his place and just hammered, like freaking done, like just done. And any freaking, you know, any misconceptions that I had, because I did, I was like, I could drink this freaking guy under a table. Nope, not going to happen. Joe literally could take like alcohol intravenously and then fly a plane, you know, and land it on a rooftop somewhere in Bogota. Like it's just crazy. But I was like, just gone. And then I looked at the time and I was like, oh my God, I got an interview in an hour. And he's like, okay, all right, we got to get it. Come on, you got to get your feet under you. It's like, and I did this interview and I don't remember the first half of it. I have no idea what I said. And so that night I had to go back and watch it to make sure I didn't, you know, like say anything that was going to, you know, get me sued. So yeah, he's great.
That's fantastic, man. It's a great trio. It's a great trifecta.
Yeah, it's good, man. I'm excited for this thing. I'm excited. It's in the process of going through notes right now. It's going through, two of the producers. They got some notes, and you know, take those, turn them around. I'm not precious about shit, man. It's always about like what is going to make this story, you know, the best story that that we can tell. So, you know, I'll get those, implement those, turn around. But I'm so excited about it. It's awesome. Really fucking cool. It's really cool. So the second I get the all clear, I will let you guys know.
Fantastic, brother. Thanks.
Awesome.
Wrap up, speaking of trifecta, we have something that we're going to call the Binge Media Trifecta. And it's three questions. Very, very simple. Nothing too crazy. You down for this?
Oh, shit.
Putting you on the spot.
Oh, damn.
Now you have
to. Yeah, dude. Come on. Yeah, hit me. Let's do this. Let's
fucking do
this.
Come on. All right,
Simon. What you
got? Let's do it. All right. First one. To listen to the Binge Trifecta with Adam Simon, sign up for Patreon at patreon.com/bingemedia. Awesome. I think that's going to wrap up the Binge, what do we call it? Trifecta, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah.
We're working. We're still workshopping that name.
I like those questions. I like those questions, man. I think you guys should go Monty Python. You should be like, what is your favorite color? What's your, you know, and then at the end, just throw in something, you know, what is the velocity of an African, you know, like just throw something crazy in there, you know.
I love it.
You had to kill a family member, which one would you kill?
Which one named Dad would it be? Something like that.
Make it a trick question. Do that. It's amazing, dude. I freaking love it.
Fantastic. Well, dude, awesome. Thanks for reaching out, and thanks for calling us today. Man. And we're super stoked about your announcement. And like we said before, the pairing is such a natural one, and I think it's a great fit, and we can't wait to see what you guys do.
Absolutely.
It's going to be great, dude. I'm telling you, it's fucking awesome. I'm excited for it.
Where can people find you in your travels and your musings?
So I'm always spewing absolute, utter, pure. I've divvied up my social media to be like, Facebook is nothing but business. Facebook is where I'm like, hey guys, working on this project. This is what's up. Hope everybody's doing well. By the way, hi, Uncle Tim. I know you're watching my feed.
Right. And on
Twitter, I'm a damn madman. Like I'm insane. Yeah. So like Adam Simon Actor is my Twitter handle. I'm usually making threats that are, you know, getting me calls from the Secret Service, or you know, trolling people and just going insane. So that's my place for like pure unadulterated anarchy. And then Instagram is somewhere in between those two. On Instagram, it's Adam Bell Gabe, so ADAMBELGABE, and that's usually like me, you know, giving some screenwriting advice, talking about, you know, what I'm doing, what I'm working on, daily life, family, friends, mm-hmm. you know, like all that cool stuff.
That's also the URL for your Facebook, facebook.com/AdamBellGabe, BELGABE.
Yeah, that's it.
Fantastic. That is it. Well, brother, it's always good to check in with you and see what you're all about and see that you're still, you got your nose at a grindstone, still got those knuckles bloody,
yeah,
and killing it.
Yeah, man, I'll keep it going. I mean, if this country goes completely to shit or, you know, there's some kind of crazy nuclear war that goes on, you guys will find me in New Zealand raising sheep. Other than that, you know, I'll be trying to make movies.
Fantastic, man. Can't wait to see them.
Oh, that's one. Before I go, that's one. And I've actually mentioned that a million times, is I wanted to remake Mosquito Coast.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Yeah. A movie with Harrison Ford.
That's fantastic.
I wanted to just contemporize it and do it. And I've got to take on that one too. I've always had that one in my back pocket just because that movie really affected me.
Yeah. I was just going to say that could be a really effective movie updated.
Yeah. Right.
Nice.
All right. I feel like I've purged my demons. This feels good. Thanks, guys.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right, dude. We will talk to you soon.
Okay,
and
we'll talk to you soon.
Good luck with everything, brother.
Peace, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks so much.
Yep.
Later.
Peace.
All right. There he goes. The great Adam Simon.
Always a good time.
Always a good time. He's just so conversational, so open. Like, he's just, great. Like, vulnerable all... I don't know if so much vulnerable, but just so open all the time, you know?
You know what? He's just a dude who fucking has lived a life, and he gets it.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
You just don't... You can't buy that, you know?
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen, like, a lot of interviews with Grillo, but I imagine he's kind of, like, the same kind of wavelength. So, like, yeah. And talking to Joe Carnahan, like, he's such a dude...
Right.
Like, we call him, he was grilling steaks, smoking a cigar, and drinking bourbon. Like, and just a regular dude. Like, you follow Josie, he's my boy, I'm gonna call him Josie. Follow Josie on Twitter, and he's rallying against all the Trump supporters and talking mad shit and never backs down, and he makes fucking great movies.
Yeah. Yeah, he just does his shit. I would call all three of those guys... members of the target Binge Media demographic.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. Oh, good shit. Excellent. Great. Glad that I was able to come on and hang with Adam again. It's good.
Absolutely.
Dude.
And I think, you know, hopefully I get another interview with Carnahan down the road. Maybe Grillo.
Yeah.
Get him on the podcast.
Yeah. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, man. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us for this special edition of the BingeCast, talking with Adam Simon. He laid out all of his social media accounts, so you can follow him there. He's a good follow on all of those, so make sure you do that, and keep it tuned to BingeMedia.net, and check your podcast apps, because there's going to be some shit going down, and for you Patreon members, definitely some shit going down. So
absolutely.
This is going to be a busy, busy weekend. So stay tuned, folks. We'll talk to you guys later.
See you.
Peace.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on BingeMedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Buy some merch at BingeMedia.net/shop. Subscribe to our newsletter at BingeMedia.net/newsletter. And don't forget...
I can't get enough of soup.
Bob Odenkirk.